It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in, everyone. Episode 4 of The Dominator for Season 3. I'm your host, as always, Josh Larkey. Joined with me, special guest Derek Brown, better known as D-Bro, of Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. My good friend. We've known each other for a few years in this space. Mm-hmm. We've guested on some podcasts together. Today, we're going to be drafting an underdog best ball team. We're going to talk some rookies. We're going to talk some free agency. And we're just going to cut right down to it. Derek. Give me a free agency move that where you think, oh, I like this. I might even love this. I'm probably going to end up above consensus on this player, pretty much regardless of where ADP shakes out. Like, this is someone that I see the upside for.
Yeah, man. First of all, I mean, thanks for having me back here, Larkey. It's been a minute, man, but I love doing shows with you. We see things a lot eye to eye. It's kind of brutal whenever we've been in best ball drafts and we land in the same drafts because then we're just sniping each other back and forth. So it makes it tough in that way. So there's a few teams this best ball season. I know that all will automatically be burning money if we draft against each other. But as far as the free agency stuff goes, man, there's two guys that stand out to me in this conversation, and it's Aaron Jones and Joe Mixon. And looking at where their ADPs are, I have Aaron Jones ranked as a high-end RB2. Same thing with Joe Mixon. And I think with consensus looking at these guys, I think I'm going to be higher than consensus and make sure that in my ranks, I continue to be higher than consensus throughout the process and all summer and stuff, because Aaron Jones looked great last year when he was finally healthy, Larkey. Like, that's the big part of this is, like, yes, we're absorbing risk with drafting Aaron Jones in best ball, but you already kind of know that, and it's baked into his ADP because we know what the upside looks like for him. And when he was healthy, finally healthy last year, he was the same guy we've always known. I mean, weeks 15 through 20, he was averaging over 20 touches per game, over 120 total yards amongst 47 qualifying running backs. This guy was still eighth in explosive run rate and top 10 in yards after contact per attempt. So the talent didn't go anywhere. It was just that he was not healthy, and people are going to bake in the injury risk probably a little bit too much into his ADP, and I'm not worried about Ty Chandler. And the similar opposite case can be said for Joe Mixon. Like, he has managed to stay healthy. The efficiency metrics have dropped off massively for him. But, and this is a learning point. Again, we always try to, like, take away learning points from last year and ingest that and infuse that into what we're going to do for next year in best ball, redraft, whatever. And last year, I faded Rashad White and Joe Mixon massively because I was like, look, both these guys do not have – the efficiency is not there in their profiles. But with both of these guys, you saw it doesn't freaking matter at all. When they're going to get all of the freaking touches, they're going to get all the high leverage touches, they're going to play workhorse roles and get checkdowns and work in the passing game. So Joe Mixon is somebody, like, with the contract he got from Houston, it just tells you everything sizable. You need to know. Like, Damian Pierce is not going to be a thing unless Joe Mixon gets hurt. And Joe Mixon's going to own this backfield and what we project to be one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the Texans probably draft someone late. The rumors I've heard is that Damian Pierce might get moved to another team, trade candidate. Yeah. Seems like it just really didn't work out for him last year. Before we move on, Aaron Jones. There's a lot going on with the Vikings. Is there a scenario where you'd become out on him depending if they draft a quarterback, don't draft a quarterback? Or is this more just, I'm going to bet on a player that's really talented behind an offensive line that should be good enough?
That. Because here's the thing. If they don't get a quarterback, or if they get a quarterback that maybe I don't like them a ton, maybe they draft Bo Nix or something like that. Just saying. And I think they have the equity to now get up into that top five picks and get a quarterback out of the top four of this class. So I'm not even baking any of that into my Aaron Jones take. I like efficient players, and I'm willing to dive into those guys. And especially when consensus says, oh, they're old, they're washed, they're used up, don't worry about them. Like, no, we're out of them, out on them. That's another reason where it's like, okay, well, if the market's all going this direction with it, mm-hmm. especially, like, let's play it out here, Larky. If they don't get a quarterback and Sam Darnold walks into week one, everybody's going to say, well, now we got questions about Justin Jefferson. His ADP maybe slides a few spots, not out of the first round or anything crazy. But the big hitters that will take, the players that will take the biggest hit in that offense will be Aaron Jones, will be Jordan Addison. So to me, like, I'm getting exposure to Aaron Jones with also the idea that maybe we also get a windfall here in that if they don't get a quarterback, then he becomes an even better value this summer.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's be a little less positive. I want a free agency move where you were scratching your head and you think you're going to be below consensus on this player. So you like Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, two veteran running backs. Mm-hmm. Give me a slightly younger running back that you're out on at this point.
I do not like DeAndre Swift, man. I know everybody's loved him in previous seasons, but I'm not in on him. Like, looking at, he's not been the goal line rusher for multiple teams. You want to go back to the Lions? He wasn't the goal line rusher there. That was Jamal Williams. You want to go to the Bears? The Eagles. And yes, we could say, okay, well, that's Jalen Hurts. It's a different circumstance. He was also losing red zone touches to freaking Kenny Gainwell. So you marry all these things together, and I understand the contract. Like, I just talked about Joe Mixon. The contract that Chicago gave Swift gives him certainty for the next two seasons. But I don't agree with the contract Chicago gave him. Like, I don't see, like, what are we propping up for DeAndre Swift? Oh, well, he's going to get a ton of work in the passing game. Do we really know that? Because we don't know what Caleb Williams' tendencies in the NFL are going to be. As well as if we even want to take any of the collegiate stuff and project it to the NFL, he's been more mm-hmm. likely a guy that's going to run around and try to push the ball downfield than to check it down and take checkdowns. So all the parts or pieces, as well as, do we really know that Chicago is going to run Swift as a true workhorse, like 65-70%, considering what the hell they did last year? It was a rotation of dudes, and we were pulling mm-hmm. our hair out. Like, just the week that you were like, you were finally in on it, and you're like, okay, Khalil Herbert, I'm rolling with you, baby. RB2, great matchup.
I remember those weeks.
And then you're like, well, never mind. Apparently, I missed the memo. It was on my desk that Deontay Foreman was going to get 20 touches this week. Oh, God, that's just great. Or Roshan Johnson is going to get the red zone work. So I'm not bought into this is definitively his backfield. And the other thing, even when we want to just talk about DeAndre Swift, the player, he has not been efficient, and he's not gotten all the high leverage touches over multiple seasons and different teams. So what makes us feel even better about that in Chicago? The contract?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm a believer in Swift. I talked about him on a couple podcasts ago. Okay. And I think I'm going to have to soften that stance a little bit. I think you brought up some good points.
Like, what are you buying into with Swift? Because that's the problem for me, is like looking and finding mm-hmm. the data point or the angle that I talk myself into it. And that's where I'm struggling with it.
Here's how I see the backfield. I will say I'm softening the stance after what you've said, but my original stance was they bring in DeAndre Swift on a big contract. Mm-hmm. That's at least some indictment on the current running back room that they didn't think this was good enough.
That's fair.
When I look at Roshan Johnson, I don't think he's a better pass catcher than DeAndre Swift. Swift makes some mental lapses, but when you get the ball in his hand, it's a much better experience in space than Roshan mm-hmm. Johnson. That's Khalil Herbert, I do think he's a better pure runner. Khalil Herbert's actually not that big of a guy, though, just like Swift. So I think there's a chance that Swift ends up just taking those goal line carries due to the contract and more of his veteran status. So I see it being more of a Swift-Herbert backfield. Caleb Williams comes in, and I think he's going to like Swift in space. And I think his ability to extend plays can be good for some of these Swift checkdowns where he's extending the play. And then he goes, oh, you know what? We don't want to take the sack. I've got to get it out quickly. Swift's right there. And now he's in space. So I was kind of thinking that this is showing that they want to mold the offense in some way that involves a high volume pass catching back. I do have some concerns because Caleb is so mobile. And we know that sometimes if a quarterback gets too mobile, that hurts them in the pass game. And I will admit Swift was horrifically inefficient as a ball carrier last year. So that's bad. That's why I do think like Herbert's probably in the mix on first and second downs at times.
To your point, as well as with Swift and just talking both sides of the table here, you do also have an offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron to help paint kind of the pro Swift argument. Kenneth Walker's not very much like he's not built that much different in terms of size from DeAndre Swift. So if you want to talk yourself into the pro red zone usage for Swift, which I'm willing to sit here and still draft him at certain points because again, Larky, we've done this best ball thing for enough years in a row. Like we also have to get exposure to players that maybe we're not extremely high on because we get stuff wrong every single year. You know, like we can all point back to the Josh Jacobs stuff. We could point back to all the Seattle stuff. We could point back to, you know, Mike Evans and what happened with Baker Mayfield last year. You know, like we don't have all of the answers. We're all just reading the tea leaves. So like the pro Swift argument also, if you want to look at from the Kenneth Walker angle in the sense of they are very similar sized backs. And in Seattle, they had no issues giving Walker the red zone usage either.
Let's talk about a player that both of us do not like. So Swift, I'm going to come down on him a little bit closer to you. I think I might just decide to be at consensus. I'll have to keep thinking about that one. This is a player we are both certifiably below consensus on. There is a wide receiver out there who was struggling with quarterback issues, and he's on a new team where he's probably going to struggle with quarterback issues. Talk to me about Jerry Jeudy.
That contract Jerry Jeudy got, like, are the Browns watching different film? Are the Browns looking at different statistics than the rest of the world? I don't get it, man. Like, what are we doing here? It's like they fall in love with the entire misfit toy syndrome. It's like, oh, well, we'll trade for Elijah Moore. We can fix him. It wasn't it had to be the Jets. It wasn't Elijah Moore. And then Elijah Moore comes into Cleveland and shows, no, it's probably a good bit of Elijah
Moore.
It's
kind of a cocky attitude almost.
Yeah. It's like Jerry Jeudy, like at what juncture has he proven that he deserves that type of contract and deserves to be, I mean, possibly you gave him that type of contract, you traded for him. I mean, there is a world where he could be the focal point of that passing attack and not Amari Cooper. I'm not saying that it should operate in that way, but it could, considering, again, if we're following the money, and I don't understand why. Like, Cleveland hands out, it's amazing. It's like they're locked into a windowless office, cut off from the rest of the world, and they're playing in the year 2020. It's like, man, you know Deshaun Watson? He's awesome. We gotta sign him. Mega deal. Give him all the guaranteed money. Jerry Jeudy. Oh, the hype, baby. We have to sign him to a contract and trade for him. It's like, dude, where have you been? Where have you been? No, you don't do that. So yes, I'm out on Jerry Jeudy. Like, he's one of the guys where it's like, we always make the conversation. And again, I talked about being liquid on players we don't like. Still, even in that, I will go draft players that I don't like. That doesn't mean that there are still players that are not on my, oh, hell no. Like, I'm not even breaking glass in case of emergency. I'm fine just burning up. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm not drafting Jerry Jeudy. He's on the do not draft, I do not care, like, whatever list. Like, I don't want to say, like, the entire Cleveland offense is on that list because it's not. Like, I'll take shots on, like, Amari Cooper if he falls past ADP, David Njoku. I still think this backfield is extremely uncertain. Like, I think we still could see Nick Chubb get cut. And so I'll take shots on Jerome Ford, Pierre Strong. But, like, am I going to draft Jerry Jeudy with any kind of hope that he, what, actualizes a ceiling at this point in his career? No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
I think the great irony of this Browns offense, for people that have been around for a while, like D-Bro and I have, that have seen the years of David Njoku's career, how funny is it that he's the guy in this offense that I think we'd say is in his prime or peaking? Amari Cooper, 30, Jerry Jeudy, bust. Deshaun Watson has never been the same since 2020. It's like everyone around, Elijah Moore's damaged goods, everyone around David Njoku is starting to crumble. And this guy is starting to actually look like a potentially stable fantasy asset. So we weathered like the first 6 years. It was a bumpy road for David Njoku enthusiasts, but we got this one right. Finally,
it might've taken over half a decade,
but he is a good NFL player with athleticism. All right. We're going to talk rookies briefly, and we're going to stream this draft. So I'm going to hop in the draft room in a couple minutes. Give me a rookie that you're targeting in drafts right now. We're going to talk about more of them as we stream this draft, as we look at them. But what's one guy that you have to talk about pre-show that you want people to know is going to be on our radar? Folks, don't snipe us. Psst. don't do it.
You know what's going to happen. You know people know the draft.
Which
comes,
player is going to get sniped?
The room.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. It's got to be Marshawn Lloyd. That guy, he's one of my man crushes of the entire process. And people might be surprised considering how much deserved love, and I'm not going to poo-poo the wide receiver class, but the deserved love that this wide receiver class is getting. If you look at the running back class, everybody's just like, no, there's no good running backs. Like forget all of them, whatever. You don't need to worry about any of these guys. The running back class is terrible. Nobody's going to be selected before round four, round five. And I'm out here like, well, no, there's actually, like, I'm not telling you the running back class is amazing, but there is a tier one of this class that I do believe can be very fantasy relevant. And there are still spots out there. Like, we still have the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm sorry. Gus Edwards is not going to be their week one starting running back, probably. Cincinnati Bengals. I know that they have Zach Moss, but they signed him to one of those replacement level deals, which always screams. Wait, we've seen that happen numerous seasons, Larky, where it's like the stretch run hero gets signed to a backup high end or low end starter level money. I mean, Zach Moss's contract tells you all the belief that Cincinnati has in him, in the sense that it's basically a 1 year deal. It's not a ton of money. And that's what all leads me back to drafting Marshawn Lloyd, who is basically free in drafts. And he's my RB1 of this class. And the reason I have to bring him up here is he is one of the few running backs in this class that has the ability to break tackles. He's been top 20 in basically every efficiency metric that you could pull up in the last two seasons. And he has a true three down skill set. And for everything out there, did he garner a ton of targets in college? No. Does he jump off the page in terms of yards per route run? No. But some of these things we can also point to are usage metrics and saying, okay, well, again, going back to Caleb Williams, was he the most prone in checking the ball down at USC? No, he was looking to make big plays. He was going for the home run swing on most different snaps. And so he's not checking the ball down to Marshawn Lloyd. When I went down to Senior Bowl in Mobile, I saw Marshawn Lloyd consistently dust linebackers and other players in one-on-one drills. He closed two different practices back-to-back with dusting guys, one on a wheel route and one on a, I think it was a whip route or an angle route, in back-to-back days where he looked fantastic. And we also got the intel that they wanted to see these guys perform well in the pass game drills in Mobile. And Marshawn Lloyd just, he's crushed every part of the process, Larky. Like, he goes round three of the NFL draft to a good spot, one of those spots that I just mentioned, and his ADP is going to shoot through the roof, and you're going to see it here. Oh, the slow hype and the drum beat building for him. So I want to get ahead of all of that.
Yeah, one thing I'll note about his receiving profile, he had, this is not a misspeak, 18 yards per reception at USC this past season with Caleb Williams. That is Bijan Robinson levels. Since people out there were skeptical, some people were like, is Bijan Robinson actually a good receiving back? Because his receptions numbers weren't as high as I'd like. And it's like, guys, look at the yards per reception. This is not a dude that's just getting screen passes and doing nothing with it. He's running real routes. This is an actual pass game weapon. Now, we like Marshawn Lloyd. Give me a player that you're not going to let me hit the draft button on when we go live with this draft. Give me
Larky,
a rookie.
I'm gonna if you draft AD Mitchell in this draft, I'm going to get up from the desk and I'm going to walk away. I'm calling it right now, man. Like, I can't do it with AD Mitchell. Like, I understand he tested really well, But outside of that, if you want to go to the film, if you want to go to his analytical profile, somebody would have to like hold me down and force feed me a pro AD Mitchell lecture, because I don't see it, man. You have a guy that at Texas never garnered over an 18% target share. His breakout age, not great. His per route productions, he never had more than 1.7 yards per route run in college in any season. So why are we propping him up? Oh, he's going to be a first round pick in the NFL draft. If he is, whatever team drafts him is going to hate themselves for the next 2 to 3 seasons, because it's going to be a terrible pick. He's the newest guy. And I've said this, I don't know if I've said this on a show yet, so this might be new to people, but I've said already that AD Mitchell is this year's Jonathan Mingo. He is a bad prospect that is being propped up by really good testing. And if you're willing to fall on that sword, have fun. Have fun. That's all I could say.
Whoops. I'm like, you can't talk poorly about AD Mitchell. Get him out of the stream.
The show for my AD Mitchell take.
I'm just hitting the wrong buttons, folks. So we're about to be on the clock with pick one. We will not reach for AD Mitchell at pick 3 overall. We've got McCaffrey off the board at the 101. Do you have a preferred receiver that you take in this range, or do we quote unquote reach on like a Bijan or a Breece Hall early on?
I think so. I'm really okay with us like bypassing a receiver if we wanted to go anchor running back. I think the three guys at the top of my board here would be Ja'Marr Chase, Bijan, and Breece Hall. If we want to go that way, so I'm fine with any one of those guys.
All right, make a call. Chase, Bijan, Breece. 5 seconds.
Screw it. Let's go Bijan. Let's go Bijan.
All right.
Let's get that anchor. I mean, we just talked about how bad he is, so let's draft him.
Yeah, I think what I like about Bijan Robinson is that he still had an awesome receiving season despite playing with a quarterback in Desmond Ridder that doesn't really fit the bill for checking the ball down frequently, which is a guy that has some decent mobility. And what I liked is that he was getting scheme touches in the pass game, and he was also running real routes and getting targeted there as well. So I think we could be looking at like a 12-13% target share in a reasonable volume offense. The one other stat that I love about Bijan, if you take out his headache game from week 7, where he played like 3 snaps and had 1 touch, if you remove that game and look at the other 16 games, the other games, we already removed the headache game. Tyler Algier had more red zone and goal line usage per game than Bijan Robinson. That is that's not going to happen this year. So I'm super enthusiastic. Anything else to add? We just reached in quotes. We took the guy that could very well be the RB1 overall this year, Bijan Robinson.
Well, picked and 3. That's the way that I look at it, man. I think that just simply looking at it, the fact from that he was the RB12 in expected fantasy points per game on an offense that was led by Desmond Ridder, and he was 32nd in red zone touches, Larky. Like, how does that make any sense at all? I have no qualms about his role this season. I think that if you're looking at, and however you want to parse that out, he's going to get the lion's share of the red zone work. He's also going to get all the pass game work and everything else. Like, I love Bijan. Like, I think, like, yes, last season when he was RB17 should be looked at and considered as the floor.
Is there anybody in that first round? Let's put the stream back in. Look, I didn't kick D-Bro out this time. I'm learning.
Hey, there we go, baby. We're
He's still there.
Progress.
Is there anyone in this first round? So we'll just look right now. Any picks here that surprise you, and you just look at like how these general first rounds go, where you go, you know what, that looks like a second round pick to me. Or are you generally roughly okay with these ADPs?
I'm pretty much okay with it. I will say, considering the uncertainty with Minnesota, people are still drafting Justin Jefferson. Like, they know that a good quarterback's going to be there, or he's going to be fine even if Sam Darnold's
there.
He's
the one for
me
too. Yeah.
So like, to me, if people were drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown or Puka or something, you know, name your wide receiver in that range that's kind of like your flavor du jour. If you wanted to take them over Justin Jefferson, I get it. Like, I understand it. And I'm kind of curious, the farther we get into this process, the closer we get to the NFL draft, if there are draft rooms where he falls a couple picks behind ADP.
Now, one player that I know you told me pre-draft you don't take right now, DJ Moore, his ADP is around pick 19. We will not be taking him, folks.
Nope.
I'm not a fan of him anymore now with Keenan Allen there. Were you a fan of him before the move? Since I actually thought he was fine.
I thought he was
in the second round. Yep. Keenan Allen goes there, and I'm like, guys, I don't really know who's going to be leading the team in targets in week one. And that's where my concern begins. Anything else to add about DJ Moore? Since at this point, I don't think either of us would say he's a bad player. It's purely just an ADP fade. Am I right there?
It's an ADP fade, because why draft him when you can draft Keenan Allen, who showed no drop off last season in his efficiency or ability to earn targets? So it's like, I mean, you now have, and I think we could comfortably say, like, Larky, I'm fine with saying this right now. Keenan Allen is still firmly an alpha, and he's not shown any drop off to say, okay, well, DJ Moore is clearly going to be the number one wide receiver here. So just give me the value of Keenan Allen if we're going to go to the Bears passing attack. Like, I'm not paying that premium for DJ Moore, because it's basically like his ADP, Larky, says that, oh, well, Keenan Allen never arrived in Chicago. Yeah. He's not even a thing. Like, what?
All right, 1 sec. We got 10 seconds. I queued up Rashee Rice. I know you don't want DJ Moore. Any interest in Ayuk, Diggs, Debo, Olave?
I want Rashee. I want Rashee here.
I'll love to hear it. I've talked about Rashee Rice to death on this podcast, even though we're only in episode 4. Tell the people are probably sick of me talking about it. Tell the people why you like Rashee Rice, despite Marquise Brown now signing, who we might also like, which is fine. I think you're allowed to like multiple people in a Patrick Mahomes offense if you want.
You're allowed to like multiple people in this offense if you choose. But the reason I love Rashee Rice, man, it's like, people want to take away what he did down the stretch and say, well, it was just all design touches. It was screen passes. It was all these types of things. And it's like, okay, if you peel away that top layer, Rashee Rice is still good in every metric that you look at. If you look at his numbers without screens, if you look at his numbers without design touches, so amongst 60 qualifying wide receivers from week 12 on, and you take out the design targets, he's still 13th in yards per route run. He's 17th in targets per route run. So, like, all of the narrative about, oh, it was Mickey Mouse touches, he won't get that. It's like, dude, he earned targets, and he was really freaking good when he got the targets. Mm. Like, you can't take that away from him. So now you're telling me that Marquise Brown, who has a long history of foot injuries, we don't even know, and it's baked into his contract, if he could stay healthy, and an aging Travis Kelce, and Marquise Brown, now his arrival makes it maybe a little less likely that Kansas City goes wide receiver in round one, and yet we don't like Rashee Rice, who also over that same stretch was producing as a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy. Why, Larky? When we're getting him, I mean, right now, unless ADP is updated, he's been wide receiver 14 or 15, and I see we're on the clock right now.
We're on the clock. So I queued up Chris Olave. The reasoning, there's a little sneaky correlation with the Falcons and Bijan Robinson.
Let's go.
Are we all right with Chris Olave?
Yeah, let's go Olave. So I'm buying into Olave big time, baby.
So here's one thing I love here. We quote-unquote reach on Bijan, and then what does it do? It sets us up so beautifully, because anyone that's drafting an underdog sees that the mid to late second round through the mid to late third round, it's pretty much just a wide receiver run. There's really nothing. Yep. I'm looking at the board right now. The next non-receiver, we've got Sam Laporta at pick 32. Mm-hmm. It's just Debo, Evans, Tank Dell, Michael Pittman, Jalen Waddle, Malik Nabers, DK Metcalf. There's so many receivers there to choose from. I've had this take floating out there. I want to see what you think of it. It's not necessarily that I think this is going to be an incredible offense, but I think a lot is setting up for the Saints to quietly be a pass attack we like this year in fantasy. Here's why. Super old defense. They're running into cap issues. There's a chance this is one of the NFL's truly worst defenses this year. They play in a dome. They play in the NFC South. There's other bad teams in that division as well. There's other dome offenses in that division as well. I see some shootouts incoming with the Falcons. I'm very excited about year two of Derek Carr, where I think he's just good enough. It's going to be a second year with Chris Olave, who hasn't really had that quarterback continuity. I think this is one of this is the sneakiest of the sneaky shootout teams, could be the New Orleans Saints, just due to horrific defense and then an offense that plays in a dome where the quarterback Derek Carr is the 18th or 17th best quarterback in the NFL. And suddenly we're like, wow, we are just cooking with Chris Olave.
I'm so here for that. And the thing about Chris Olave that I'll point to is all of the usage metrics are really good for Chris Olave, in the sense of his second season, we were expecting a big breakout and stuff. Now, did he perform up to the level that a lot of us, that we were like, okay, he's a wide receiver one, top 10 upside, all that kind of stuff? No. But again, that's why it makes him a value this year. Did he perform really well? Sure. Did he meet expectations for everybody that was over the moon, myself included? No. But you look at what the Saints are doing, and he doesn't have Michael Thomas there anymore. And I'm not saying Michael Thomas was a fantastic player last year, but he did also demand targets. Now he's got to work with demanding targets against Rashid Shaheed, Juwan Johnson. They signed Cedric Wilson, who again is just a depth chart guy. You look at this offense and how it could change too. The New Orleans Saints, the entire season for Derek Carr, it literally was Larky. Every single snap was, okay, Carr drop back, either check down or shoot it deep. There was nothing intermediate. There was literally Chris Olave was leading the league in deep targets for the entire season, and yet he still produced what he did. You're telling me Clint Kubiak coming in and saying, okay, we're going to change up this offense. We're going to get you with some yak opportunities and get you in space. And we're not excited for Chris Olave, considering what he did last year based off of the role that he had. And we know that he can get open and he can earn targets. Yeah, all the Olave, baby.
I love that. Now, we're not going to have the chance to discuss him. He's already been picked way earlier. Drake London went at... I don't actually know. I'm bad at this. Oh, wow. He went at pick 17. That's quite early. So I put out a tweet knowing we were going to talk about Drake London. I put out a tweet. There was a little bit of deception there, folks. I'm sorry. Sorry for gaslighting my co-host on this one, D-Bro. I put out a tweet that was basically showing that when Drake London and Kyle Pitts have been on the field together in their the two years they've overlapped, 600 routes, same targets per route run, and same average depth of target. And I said, one guy goes a lot earlier than the other, and he doesn't play tight end. I was leaving a pretty key piece of the puzzle out, and I figured we should talk about it. How much stock do you put into the target profiles being similar, yet Drake London's yards per route run has been so much better than Kyle Pitts? How do you decipher this? Because I'm more Kyle Pitts than Drake London right now, but I'm open to taking more and more Drake London, since that's a big piece of the pie that I did not put into that sneaky little tweet, folks. So let's talk about how Drake London's just been better than Pitts.
I mean, dude, to be honest, can I just say I love both of them? Like, I want exposure to this entire offense. Because...
Actually, you know what? Let's pause this. We're going to be on the clock in one pick. Okay. Pull up the draft board. Let's and go. Then we'll make our pick. Then we will discuss this. So do you like Keenan Allen here? I certainly, if he makes it back to pick 46.
If he makes it, I think it's either Keenan Allen or I want to go Rome.
Rome Odunze, that's the backup plan. All right.
Yep.
I'm not going to put him in the queue. We don't want Finn's fan 561 out there. He's already taken three receivers. Come on, dude. Let's spread the roster out. Let's
come on, man.
Back.
Come on. Let's go receiver fall.
Hallelujah.
Let's go.
So we're going with Keenan Allen. We'll talk about Keenan Allen in just a second. Let's talk more about this Falcons offense.
I think it's all parts of pieces, man. And some of this is, you know, how your drafts unfold and stuff. But I want parts of pieces of this entire offense. Like, you can even sell me on late round Darnell Mooney if you had drafted Kirk Cousins or you're going for correlations once we know schedules and stuff. It's because I think all parts and pieces of this offense are going to go up. I'm not as worried about Kirk Cousins and the freaking Achilles, because everybody's saying, okay, well, what about the Achilles? And I'm like, he's an immobile quarterback. I understand it's on his plant foot, and I understand that, you know, you need your legs to throw a football. But also, are we assuming that, like, he can't come back from the Achilles and he cannot function as a good thrower of the football? Because we don't care if he runs. And we're assuming also that Atlanta's offensive line will be good enough. Drake London is a player that it's sewn in to be the number one option in this offense. He proved to us in his rookie season, based off of everything he put up on tape, in the sense he was top five in almost every metric that you look at as far as target earning potential. Pitts, as good as he has been, still has not proven to that level. Now, can Pitts be really good? Sure.
Are we taking Rome Odunze here?
Yes, we're taking Rome.
I figured he made it back to you. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm all with us just pounding wide receivers right now, because we're at what? We got Bijan and we got four wideouts now. So, yeah, dude.
Yeah, like, we've got Bijan Robinson, Rashee Rice, Chris Olave, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. That's a beautiful mixture of youth and vet status right there in the receiver room. Bijan anchorings. All right, let's keep going with Drake London.
But, dude, I love Drake London because he is a true, pure alpha. He's proven that he has the profile and the talent to command targets. We've already seen that. The thing that we haven't gotten for Drake London, who, again, if we're talking about volume profiles, like Drake London is a guy that's not going to get, you know, 3 to 4 deep targets per game. He's not a field stretcher. He's not the guy that, can he do that? Sure. But he's a high volume wide receiver that has been languishing in a putrid passing attack with suboptimal usage, suboptimal quarterback play, almost zero red zone usage over the last two seasons, and now is the breakout time, man. He's the number one wide receiver in this offense, regardless of however you've... Again, you talked about it, Larky. He's been even more efficient, even if you want to talk about the target earning potential for both those guys being on, okay, say they're on the same level. Drake London's already proven to people that he could be more efficient with the targets that he's earned than Kyle Pitts, even though I do like Kyle Pitts.
I'm going to let you catch your breath for a second before we chat Keenan Allen. So if we scroll back in the draft queue, let's put that draft back up. This is a player we're both fading. I'll give you a little break. I'll talk about some good reasons why. Someone took Nick Chubb here at pick 47. We're not going to say their username. We won't call them out. His ADP is currently 85. They took him at 47. So with Nick Chubb, D-Bro's fading him too. I think, folks, if you're looking at a guy that turns 29 in December, who's coming off an injury that was both the ACL and MCL, he had two different surgeries. One of the surgeries was to repair the ACL. Then one was for like the MCL or something. I forget exactly how it worked, but essentially Nick Chubb, when he went down, had a surgery, and then 6 or 7 weeks later had the ACL reconstructive surgery after that. His timeline's later than people think. He's going to start the season on PUP. This is the type of player that's not a pass catcher, so he needs the explosive runs, and I just don't even know if we get that coming off this injury, and I think the Browns are concerned. Deonta Foreman's actually not half bad at football. They signed him. I think this is going to be their early down thumper until Chubb returns. I don't know when Chubb returns, and I think even when he returns, Chance is not a great offense. He's probably a diminished version of himself. Breece Hall, folks, had a much less significant injury, and even still, Breece Hall got there in fantasy last year due to receiving volume. It was not because he was the best running back in the NFL on the ground. Anything you want to add to Chubb before we talk about why we just love Keenan Allen aging like fine wine?
I don't understand what are people talking themselves into with Nick Chubb. Like, what part of his profile? Like, he's an older running back. Even if you want to assume that he's fully healthy and he's still one of the most efficient rushers in the NFL, you want to buy into a Deshaun Watson led offense. That sounds like a good thing. I literally can't wrap my head around why Nick Chubb's ADP is where it is. And people are willing to just say, sure, let's go. I'm diving right in. Like, it makes no sense to me, Larky. Like, I can't wrap my head around it no matter how hard I try. Like, what are you selling yourself on that Nick Chubb will pay off for that value and that he's a really good pick? Like, he's just an auto cross off the list every draft. Easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on the clock in probably 40 seconds. Keenan Allen, I'm going to ask it to you this way, since I think we both really like him. I think a lot of people like him. What do you think the odds are that he out-targets DJ Moore week one? Would you put that 50-50, slightly Moore's favor, slightly Allen's favor? How do you see that?
I think it's 50-50 at best. And then once we know the matchups, if you were to tell me this is an extremely zone-centric team and they are trying to keep everything in front of them, they run a lot of cover two and stuff, that number is just going to continue to rise for me. That Keenan Allen's going to be the wide receiver one in week one.
All right. We have your man crush, Aaron Jones. We've got Kyle Pitts next. Do we think we can get both of these guys? Stream, help us out. Should we go with Jones here and then hope Pitts makes it back? Or you want to take the tight end now that we have Bijan on the roster?
Man, I want to take Pitts because we can have the Atlanta correlation and further dive into the New Orleans Atlanta. Like, maybe we get some
Cousins pick 125. Yeah, we got some time. Well, sorry, say that last name one more time.
Maybe we get
looking for as well.
Oh, well, I was saying maybe we get some run pure on the schedule when it comes out, and we get like a week 16 or 17 correlation between Atlanta and New Orleans too.
Oh yes, that'd be very nice.
That'd be fantastic. So just looking at some of these teams in the same division.
Yeah, right now we've got hee hee ha ha. Yes, they just took Bowers. Lemon 27 picks twice. Hee hee ha ha. Picks again. Will Aaron Jones make it back? Both these teams already have at least one running back on the roster. Maybe they're going anchor running back here. And then we can hit a little Aaron Jones. Right now, folks, the team is Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts anchoring those little slots at running back and tight end from the Falcons. And then the receiver room, again, Rashee Rice, Chris Olave, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, the most beautiful blend of youth with veteran status out there. Keenan Allen's just, he's really coaching up the team right now.
I mean, you need the veteran leadership. I mean, he's just telling the squad. He's got the pep talk going on.
We're one pick away.
Oh, dude.
He's still there.
It's either Aaron Jones. It's either Aaron Jones. Let's go.
Hee-hee-ha-ha. Wait a minute. Chase
Did they just
Brown.
Take Chase Brown over Aaron Jones? Did I just see that happen?
Folks, hee-hee-ha-ha is watching the stream. Loves the two of us. Wants us to have a super team.
That's
Aaron
beautiful.
Jones.
I mean, I love good people making great decisions. I just love it.
Oof. You know what? It doesn't get much more beautiful than that. We've got a little sneaky NFC North correlation. NFC North, we are expanding the NFC South, Atlanta Saints. We've now got NFC North with Keenan Allen on the Bears, Aaron Jones on the Vikings.
If you're looking at current mocks, Larky, we might have double stacked Caleb Williams. I mean, as well too, because there have been some Rome Odunze in my most recent mock. I put him to the Bears, so maybe.
Yeah, I mean, my eyes were already going to be on Caleb Williams once we took Keenan Allen. I got to say, if we can get Caleb Williams and Kirk Cousins in that little quarterback zone, that's a very well stacked, fun team. You can always take a little Derek Carr at the end of the draft for a little three quarterback build.
Yep.
We're just stacking it up now. One guy, we both love him. I'm going to let you gush about him. We love Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray just went at pick 77. His ADP is 87. That is a quote-unquote reach. I think you and I are both okay with this at this point. Talk to me about why people out there should be very, very in on Kyler Murray and why his initial anchored ADP a few weeks ago of around pick 100 was absolutely egregious.
That was insanity. And I still think that he's a great pick, even in the 70s. I mean, you're basically, you're getting him in low-end QB1 territory for a player that, again, we saw similar to like what his floor looks like. Like last year and I'm not going to say that Kyler Murray played good football, because if you look at all of his passing metrics, he was not great last year, Larky. But if you look at what he was still putting up, even though he was not playing quarterback well in terms of a thrower of the football, he was still QB9 in fantasy points per game. So we could say, okay, coming off the ACL, the rushing production we got, the fantasy production we got is probably close to what his floor looks like. So he's being drafted there. And we've already seen in previous seasons, when he's healthy, he's going to run, and he has top five upside at the position, as well as nobody's baking into second year of a system. They're going to add wide receiver talent. Now, whether you say, oh, they're going Marv at four, or maybe they draft wide receivers in round two, that's where I sit. I think Arizona should take the trade. They should trade back. They get multiple firsts. And then the great thing about this draft, Larky, is that they could draft wide receivers. They could draft two wide receivers in the second round, and we're still talking about it being a positive for Kyler Murray, even if they sidestep going with a wide receiver in the top five, and we're getting a quarterback basically getting drafted at his floor when he showed last year. Why did people not want to buy a Kyler Murray? And as well as, I'll even throw that on top of it, draft Trey McBride. I don't care that he's getting drafted as the tight end three. He should be the tight end one off the board. So I look at that as also a great value. I have Trey McBride, and I'm curious where, if you've already done your 2024 early ranks, Larky. I have Trey McBride. I could make you a conversation that Trey McBride should be a first-round pick and should be talked about in a similar light as we have discussed Travis Kelce in every one of the previous seasons.
So I put out way too early ranks like a month and a half ago for my first 40 picks. I had Trey McBride as a 2-3 turn pick as the tight end one off the board, and I was shocked to see where his ADP shook out in these early drafts. There's not a clear path to volume at the tight end position. The fact that you can get this guy often in the fourth round, it's just
insane.
Anyone out there taking Travis Kelce ahead of Trey McBride, when Travis Kelce now actually has two target earners in Rashee Rice and Marquise Brown to worry about, and he turns 35 in October, and he was already declining in his efficiency. don't know what to do. We're back on the clock right now. I'm going to try to nix. I love Austin Eckler as a person. Oh. Do not like the ADP right now.
Same.
I do not understand the Raheem Mostert ADP. I think he's 32 now. Who are we taking here in this range? It's kind of a waste.
Roll down wide receivers. I've got one guy that I'm thinking about here.
I like Jacoby Myers here.
I like Brian Robinson. I like Jacoby Myers.
Oh, we got 5 seconds.
Let's go Xavier Worthy. Let's dive into first round wide receivers.
We took Xavier Worthy.
If he lands in a fantastic spot at the end of the first round of the Bills.
That's what I'm hoping for is Bills. Yeah.
Hey, here's the other thing. Maybe he goes to Arizona at the top of the second. Like there's a lot of good spots where we're just playing the draft capital game and we're saying, look, okay, he goes in that spot. He's going to get early opportunity.
Yeah. One thing I love is my comp for Xavier Worthy at this point, there's no good comp. Obviously when you set the combine 40 record, but
hard to comp.
I think the closest comp I found is Marquise Brown. And folks, Marquise Brown gave you some good fantasy production at times as a Cardinal. So yeah, early second round to the Cardinals where there's just targets galore. Him, Trey McBride, they do not operate at all. Same part of the field. You could see both these guys having very, very
strong. We could have just quietly double-stacked Patrick Mahomes too if he goes to KC.
That is true as well. All right, we're about to be back on the clock here. I'm looking through this. I really like Jacoby Myers. I think he's fun. I also, we might not get Caleb if we don't take him. I'm fine taking Caleb at pick 99. ADP is 110.
Screw it. Take Caleb. That's where
we'll just, because I was saying we don't have a quarterback yet.
Well, so let's take Caleb about here. All of this too is that we need to point out here too, Larky, is that you can't get married to the ADPs because they're not adjusting fast enough in some of these rooms to where players are actually going in rooms right now. You know, like what we talked about with Drake London, some of these players, the ADP is all over there. So like when we get into like August, September, you know, when we get into late August and you're like, okay, now I can hang my hat on the ADP is more solid and guys are going to go kind of where I think they're going to go. That's not the case right now in these early best ball drafts too.
I agree. We're going to be back on the clock at pick 118. Shh, cross your fingers for Kirk Cousins and we can just stack them up. But until then, we're not going to be back on the clock for 18 picks. Let's take a minute to hear from the Podfather about another draft platform that we should be hammering this offseason.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, you know, people always ask me, what's the World Series of Fantasy? What's the Super Bowl of Fantasy? And it's easy. It's the FFPC. Their signature Players Championship has a $6 million prize pool. And their best ball leagues start in February. And they're the answer to so many questions. Hey, what's the best place to get a Dynasty Orphan? Well, you can adopt a Dynasty Orphan at the FFPC right now. There's more orphans at the FFPC than anywhere else on the internet. That's why we partner with them. So if you want to play fantasy football for low, medium, high stakes, you love Dynasty, you love best ball, you love seasonal leagues, all types of fantasy footballers need to go to the FFPC. And remember, use promo code UNDERWORLD. Promo code UNDERWORLD gets you $25 off your first team. Promo code UNDERWORLD, $25 off your first team, no matter what the format is, at the FFPC. Go get it.
We've got 13 picks, so we're back on the clock. There's some good banter time remaining. I'm Josh Larkey with the Dominator from Player Profiler, joined with my good friend Derek Brown, better known as D-Bro. You can find him on the X/Twitter streets. DBro_FFB. We were talking about Caleb Williams in this Bears offense. A lot of people already understand he's going to be a Bear. I'm looking now. We've got Jaden Daniels, Right now, it seems like most likely he will be a Washington Commander. And then probably Drake May, a New England Patriot. Is that how you see it? Is that how you hope it should go? And what do you think about the smoke with J.J. McCarthy? Since right now I'm trying to figure out how these first three, four picks are going in these drafts. Do you have a strong take here on any of these players?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are trying to catch up to all the J.J. McCarthy love. I think, like, from the beginning of the process, Thor and I have been...
You've always been a believer.
Yep, always massively above consensus. Like, he's been my QB2 in this class, J.J. McCarthy has. And people might say, okay, well, it's blasphemous. Like, you're ranking him ahead of Caleb Williams and Drake May. And it's not that I don't like Caleb Williams and Drake May. Like, I think that their ceilings are firmly intact. It's the fact that I think that people are underrating what JJ McCarthy brings to the table. And so it's not that I don't like those other quarterbacks as prospects. Like, in my most current mock, I have the first round starting with four straight quarterback picks because this class of quarterbacks is really freaking good. And so, yes, I see it going Caleb. I think Jaden Daniels is locked into Washington. The takes are out there. I've said that since February, so I'm not backing off of it. He's a perfect fit for what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do. And looking at where these other quarterbacks go, I think Drake May is probably the next guy off the board. And I think JJ is going to be sitting there at four for the Vikings to come up and snag him. And I think Arizona is going to trade back.
Yeah, I think the Vikings would be a sneaky, awesome landing spot. Just a plethora of weapons there. Solid offensive line. We're about to be on the clock. Here's the dilemma. So we can take Kirk Cousins right now and get the double stack. I just did a little recon. He-he-ha-ha has taken Mahomes and does not have a Falcon on his roster. Lemon27 already has Burrow and Purdy with no Falcons on his roster.
Oh, let's push
it. Do we take Cousins now or do we wait?
I'm
a thrill seeker. It seems like you're a thrill seeker.
Yeah.
Who do you want to take here instead? Any names jumping out? I really like Troy Franklin here. I like Jacoby Myers a lot at receiver.
I think either one of those wide receivers are fine with me. I think like we could still dive into the rookie pool if you want to, Larky. I mean,
Troy Franklin's my rookie receiver crush.
Then tell me. We are firmly in line. He's my wide receiver four of this class, and people hate it. Please tell me why you
I love it. Yeah. So what I like about Troy Franklin is that he wins deep down the field. And he creates yards after the catch. That's a really, really rare combo. People might be like, all right, well, who does that if that's so rare? People like Tyreek Hill do that. It is fantasy gold if you can get a guy with speed like Franklin has that can kind of win in all areas. The yards per route run was off the charts. As a sophomore, he had two times as many yards as anybody else on his team. As a junior, he went nuclear and had nearly 1,400 receiving yards. Some people out there are terrified because at the combine, he weighed in the 170s. I did a little research because you should always do your own research when something doesn't seem to line up with these prospects. He was very, very sick with the flu. He's now up to his natural playing weight in the mid 180s. Now I have no more BMI concerns. We're going to be up on the clock again. And we have Kirk Cousins secured.
Kirk, come on down.
Anything else you want to add on Troy Franklin before we do the virtual Air 5 with these double stacks that we just created?
I don't understand why people are dinging Troy Franklin so much for running a 4.4 versus a 4.36. Like, people kept saying, okay, he's running the 4.3s, and because he didn't run in the 4.3s, they want to bury the kid. And that makes no damn sense to me. Like, I can't make heads or tails of that, Larky. Like, even at, and this is numbers based off of him being 176. He still finished with a 90th percentile 40-yard dash and an 83rd percentile burst score per Player Profiler. If those numbers, if you put him at 184, they go even higher, my friend. So, like, why are people like, well, he's fast, but he's not fast enough? Like, get out of here with this shit. Come on.
Yeah, I think the statistical profile, it kind of tells you with just how efficient he's been, where he's averaging like 3.5 yards per route run, which would be pretty historic for a class. Yeah, it'd be pretty ridiculous. The problem is that we have the big three of Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Dunze, who also just had ridiculous yards per route runs this past year. But folks, Troy Franklin is for real. He's currently my wide receiver four as well.
In this class, man, I love him.
We're spreading too much to the good people out there. Now we.
But what about his combine, Larky? And then he didn't run.
That's what we should talk about. Yeah,
he didn't. He didn't run the gauntlet right. He didn't run straight, and then he didn't hit 20 miles an hour in the gauntlet. The gauntlet, Larky. Come on, the gauntlet. Right.
We're old enough to remember when Garrett Wilson bombed the gauntlet drill, and it's like, you know what? The tape speaks for itself. The stats speak for itself. This is a receiver that's awesome at running routes and getting open. Just because he didn't happen to train one drill where he sprints and supposedly supposed to be a straight line while catching passes from multiple angles. You know what? Never in the NFL. I promise you. I actually promise you, if you're listening, never will Troy Franklin be in an NFL game where he has to catch two passes on the same play. That's not going to happen, especially from different angles. I think we're going to dodge that one. So just in case he actually truly isn't good at it. Fortunately, the sport he plays doesn't require that on the field of play. So I think we're safe.
I mean, you framed it perfectly, man. I think it's ridiculous. Some of the things that where people are just like, oh, well, I saw the gauntlet drill. Well, what about his entire film profile from the last season? Like, you don't care about what he did on film at Oregon. You don't care about the fact that he was sixth in yards per route run. You don't care about his early breakout age. You don't care about the fact that he's an underrated route runner, because if you turn on the film, you could see that for days. None of that matters. But we care about the fact that he didn't do good in the gauntlet drill, so I got to fade him. He didn't run a 4.3. I got to fade him.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, man.
Now, folks out there that want to see the full draft board, that want to really look at these teams in depth, I will post the draft board on my Twitter at JLarkyTweets after this stream ends. DBro_FFB. Make sure you're following Derek Brown as well. I don't want to like roster bait too much, but we're going to roster bait a little bit because this team is absolutely gorgeous.
Please do.
Larky. All right. Let's talk about the Bears. We've got Caleb Williams. We've got Keenan Allen. And as you mentioned, we've got Romo Dunze. That could very well be a nice little Bears double stack. And then if you don't like the possible double stack and you're like, Josh, that's too cocky of you to assume Romo Dunze goes there. Well, folks, may I interest you in the Kirk Cousins special? We've got Kirk Cousins. We've got Bijan Robinson. We've got Kyle Pitts from the Falcons. That is a true certifiable double stack. Other players rounding out the roster. Aaron Jones at running back. We've got Bijan and Jones there anchoring those two spots down. And then receivers that we haven't mentioned yet. Oh, I don't know. Rashee Rice, Chris Olave, Xavier Worthy, and Troy Franklin, the two rookies rounding that out. We're almost back on the clock. We've got two quarterbacks, two running backs, six receivers, one tight end. Probably don't need to worry about receiver right now. And it's kind of nice because we've got some interesting running backs on the board. Who do you like here? We've got Zach Charbonnet, Jerome Ford, Ty Chandler, Kendre Miller, Jaleel McLaughlin. I already know you really like one of these players.
I want to go Jaleel. Please let us go Jameel. Like,
you want to just take him right here with this pick before anything happens?
I want Jaleel, and then we could wax poetic about why. Perfect. I love Jaleel.
All right, we're going to be back on the clock in four picks. The timer starts now. Tell me rapid fire. McLaughlin, why do you like him?
Jaleel is the dollar store version of Devon Achan. He's a smaller running back who is hyper efficient. You pull up every single metric. Yards per route run, yards to contact per attempt, missed tackles forced per attempt, explosive run rate. He's top 12 in every damn category. He's top 12. And he's in the same backfield as an inefficient runner in Javonte Williams. And Denver didn't bring any running backs in. And he has a head coach that is willing to give volume, especially in the passing game, to undersized running backs. Hello, Darren Sproles. All of these things scream that McLaughlin is going to be one of the best values of this entire fantasy draft season. I know it sounds hyperbolic, but please, Larky, tell me why I shouldn't be drinking all of the Kool-Aid about Jaleel.
Oh, no, I'm with you here. And it's not just the two of us. I know J.J. Zacharyson's in as well. Folks, there's a lot of smart people out there that are in on McLaughlin. I think all we've seen from Javonte Williams at this point is that he's just been disappointing. Better college player than NFL player. I think part of that is injury related. He had the ACL plus type injury, kind of like what Nick Chubb's going through at this point. Now, I'm going to show the draft board, and I think you're going to like who I've queued up. already has five running backs. This person cannot tank their team, right? They cannot. There's no way. Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Chase Brown, Gus Edwards, Blake Corum. They already have five running backs. They only have four receivers, right? There's no way they can ruin this for us. They would be ruining their own team.
Nope.
We've got 10 seconds.
I agree. Dude.
And then we can throw the Marshawn Lloyd dance party.
The Marshawn Lloyd, and then if somehow he goes, oh, now, let's go. Let's go. Okay, it's happened. It's happened. I mean, it's
we've
crazy.
Got Marshawn Lloyd
so
and McLaughlin.
This money at this time of the year, Larky. I love it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you can just Venmo me. I'll buy our plane tickets in advance. We're headed to Bali. You can bring the wife and kids. It's going to be a great time.
I love it.
I'll bring my girlfriend. We'll all get together. We'll be sipping Mai Tais in Bali, courtesy of Marshawn Lloyd, pick 147, USC running back. I think it's fun because now we've added the college stack. Mm-hmm. I would be floored if Marshawn Lloyd was a Bear now that they signed DeAndre Swift. But if anything, this has to be good karma from our roster that we have Caleb Williams and Marshawn Lloyd, college teammates at USC, reunited on this gorgeous best ball roster.
I mean, this is the reason why I think currently in best ball drafts, you can go with the anchor running back or you can go with a running back early, is because you can build still wide receiver heavy teams in the process that still have not only a fantastic amount of upside built into them because of where rookies are going, because that's the other part about this that doesn't make a lot of sense, Flarky. If you look at, like, everybody is out there saying, we love this rookie wide receiver class, and yet you look at their ADPs in best ball and it's like, do you really love this rookie class? Because we're still able to get access to multiple guys that will go in the first or the high end part of the second round in these middle and late rounds. And it's like, that shouldn't be the case if you love rookies as much as people say they love rookies.
I completely, completely agree there. Let me pull up the board right now. Let's check out how things are going. I think some interesting ones here. Braylon Allen, a lot of people have opinions on him. He just went to pick 158. Do you have a strong take on Braylon Allen? I think he's Gus Edwards. I'm open to changing that stance. I don't even mean that necessarily in a disparaging way. Gus Edwards has actually like been fine for fantasy at times throughout his career. I just don't see, I see like a safe floor without the high ceiling with Braylon Allen.
I think Braylon Allen was sadly born in the wrong era of the NFL. Like if you would have, if you would go back to the 1990s, Braylon Allen would be a first or second round pick and people would be gushing about how we could feed him 300 touches and he's going to be awesome. But in this iteration of the NFL in the year 2024, he's the early down, possibly red zone complement in a committee backfield. And that's really the best case scenario for a player that decided, okay, I'm not fast enough or athletic enough to test at any part of the process. Because why are you sidestepping all the testing stuff if you were really that athletic in a class to where, if Braylon Allen, put it this way, Larky, if Braylon Allen at his size in the collegiate production profile, if he were to come out and test like a freaking mutant, there were people that may talk themselves into he's the RB1 or RB2 on our boards in this class, considering the class. And yet he sidesteps all of the testing and you're like, okay, well, that's pretty much the confirmation that you're not very athletic.
All right. We're about to be back on the clock. Anybody here that you like? I'm willing to scroll a little bit.
I think with the stack, Darnell Mooney makes some sense.
That's kind of where I was leaning to.
Yeah,
I could go with the triples. People, the producers in my ear said we didn't stack enough. I don't know why they're saying that. They didn't like that we have two double stacks. Let's make this one a triple.
We could
stack.
Yeah, we could go Falcons. Triple this.
We'll be
I'm
back on
that.
In four picks. Yeah. What? Who else are you looking at right now? We're back on the clock.
The other option that we could have gone is the late stack. We could have single stack. We could have skinny stack Drake May and Demario Douglas. If we could also buy into the cheap. Portion of we could draft Khalil Herbert and say that, okay, we're making the bet against DeAndre Swift at this point.
I like that.
And buying further into the Chicago offense. I think that's also viable.
I like that. We can triple stack Chicago. Here's what I'm thinking as we wait on quarterback, because next round we can get Derek Carr.
I would also like Jonnu Smith here because we do need a tight end too.
All right, Khalil Herbert or Jonnu Smith? Oh, man. Couldn't be more different. I actually love Jonnu Smith. I'm glad that you like him as well.
I love
Let's take Jonnu Smith here. Yes. Assuming Lemon 27 and Hee Hee Ha Ha don't take him. Talk to me about why we should like Jonnu Smith, because he crushed our Kyle Pitts hopes and dreams last year. If anything, this might be hilarious that we have Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith on the same best ball team after what happened last year. And it looks like we will, in fact, get him. Why should we lower the landing spot right now?
It's all free Dolphins. Targets with Miami. This is easy access to one of the best offenses in the NFL. And you're not only talking about, you get easy access to a top 10 scoring offense. So we want touchdowns from our tight ends. That's what matters in fantasy. That's what gives you the lifeblood to finish as tight end 8 to 12 based off of, okay, maybe you only draw an 11 to 13% target share. How do you get there into the top 12? You need the touchdowns. Miami last year, Larky, if you combine Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, they accounted for 53.1% of the target share, almost 74% of the air yard share there. Nobody else stepped up in Miami. There was not another player on that damn roster that garnered at least an 11% target share or a 13% air yard share. So you were airdropping Jonnu Smith, who was still an efficient player last year, because amongst 75 qualifying tight ends, he was 16th in yards per route run, 10th in yak per reception. We're airdropping that player into a consolidated offense, and he's one injury away from one of those wide receivers to being a top two target in a top 10 possible scoring offense. Jonnu Smith's ADP makes zero sense right now.
Completely agree. Jonnu Smith this past season set career highs with, despite it being a low volume Falcons offense where he was kind of the tight end too, folks, career highs with 70 targets, 50 catches, 582 receiving yards. There was a lot going on there. Yet he only had three. Yeah. Yet he only scored three touchdowns. I think that number goes way up. And I think the 50 catches, 582 receiving yards can go up. I talked about him a couple weeks ago on a show where I said, let's kind of see where he goes. And then when I was recapping free agency, I said, Jonnu Smith should be going in probably the 130s, 140s, still goes in the 170s. It doesn't make sense. I think it's because he was anchored in like the 220s prior to free agency, and people still haven't fully caught up yet. So I'm very, very happy.
Going anywhere like tight end 13 to tight end like 15, 16 range. Like he should be a high end to mid range tight end too. And he's just not like, he's still buried in no man's land.
Now, one player that we're not going to be able to draft because they were taken before our last two picks. I had Jordan Vanek on a couple weeks ago. He loves wide receivers. He loves Ricky Pearsall. We have D-Bro from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros on right now. He loves Ricky Pearsall. The host, Josh Larkey, loves Ricky Pearsall. Talk to me about Ricky Pearsall, because the statistical profile, very questionable until you start to dig in more. The film, awesome. Combine, awesome. What are a couple key pieces with his profile that you like most right now?
I love that both of you love Ricky Pearsall, because Ricky is a player that my first round of like film evaluation and stuff, like his analytical profile doesn't jump off the page to you as like, oh, he's awesome. But then it really goes out and he tests like a freaking monster. He tests like a top shelf athlete. And you marry that with the film profile and you're like, okay, well, now I can see why the quarterback play at Florida was not great. And we're not talking about a high-flying passing offense. But he consistently pops on the film, Larky. Like, you watch Ricky, not only can he play outside, play inside. And from when we interviewed him in Mobile, my colleague Thor Nystrom interviewed him at Senior Bowl. And a lot of teams are looking at him as a slot option. You put him into the slot in any NFL offense, and he's going to be a target earner from day one. He could separate. He wins at all three levels of the field. He's really good at the catch point, and he can really make some plays with the ball in his hands. I love his game, dude. Like he's climbed up my board. I want to say I have him ranked as wide receiver 7 in this class, and I have a late second to third round grade on him. I think he goes in the second round, and it's justified.
I think he does too. We've got Derek Carr. I think this is going to be an incredible amount of stacking going on.
Yep.
We'll be pulling the trigger on him at pick 190. His ADP is pick 183. We'll take that discount. Now we have Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. We've got Derek Carr with the Saints. There's some nice little shootout correlation. These two teams are going to play each other twice. He is getting stacked up with Chris Olave. And dare I say it, I think there is some world where the Saints get someone like an Xavier Worthy or a Troy Franklin, because I don't think this is guaranteed to be a complete receiver room. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
We, I, That is freaking fantastic. We did not talk about this before we got on air, Josh, but I think the Saints are a low-key wide receiver first-round type of team. You look at the moves they have made this offseason, like bringing in Chase Young, and now we know that he has a neck issue and stuff. They don't have a glaring hole on their defense. Their offense, could they draft a tackle? Sure. I don't think they go that route because they're going to give Trevor Penning another year to either sink or swim and prove the first-round pick that they sewed into him. The Saints are a really, really good team that could draft a wide receiver in round one. Nobody's talking about that right now, but it is absolutely possible. And
All right, one sec. We're back on the clock. 12 seconds. They need a wide receiver. Yeah, who do you? Anybody that you like here? I'm down for a third tight end with Conklin. I'm down for. I like Noah Brown because he's part of that.
Noah Fant jumps out to me. Another good one. If we want to go third tight end. Yeah, I like him. I think Fant finally
we got him at the buzzer,
dude. Seattle jettisoning like Will Dissly and Kobe Parkinson. Like now we know Noah Fant's gonna be the every down guy. Like
that's what I'm hoping for.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. And people are gonna they're gonna continue to bury Fant, but it's like, look, yes, is it a crowded passing attack? And we're saying, okay, maybe Seattle runs a lot this year. Sure, but again. All we need is you have Tyler Lockett is coming off a down season. He's not getting any younger. He could easily vault to being the third guy. And as our third tight end, we're looking at like what? We need 1 to 2, 3 spike weeks out of the entirety of the season where he scores a touchdown or two touchdowns in a game and he pays off his ADP handily there.
Yes. Let me show the screen again. Let's review our team. We have 3 picks remaining. We've got Caleb Williams, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr in the quarterback room. That, I think, is quite a solid trio. We got a little bit of upside there with this Kirk Cousins pass attack in the Falcons. Caleb Williams being a mobile rookie with a great supporting cast. And then Derek Carr plays in a dome, and it's an aging defense. Caleb Williams is stacked with, at the very least, Keenan Allen, possibly Romo Odunze as well. Kirk Cousins is triple stacked with Bijan Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and Kyle Pitts. So I guess this team's hoping Drake London gets hurt. I hate saying it like that.
But I'm
not going to sugarcoat it. We know what this team needs. And then Derek Carr right now, we've got him stacked with Chris Olave and possibly Xavier Worthy or Troy Franklin ends up there as well. I'm loving this roster right now. How should we close this out? Because at face value, so we've got 3 quarterbacks. I think we're probably set there. We've got 3 tight ends. I think we're probably set there.
Yep.
3 picks remaining, 4 running backs, 2 receivers, or 4 running backs, 7 receivers. I'm thinking we go, do you want to go 2 more running backs, 1 receiver, 1 running back, 2 receivers? I think we could kind of go either a 5 running back, 9 receiver build, or 6 running back, 8 receiver build. Do you have a preference there? Or do you just want to see how the board falls with those final couple picks?
I think the board goes and just start starring names at running back and wide receiver and take whoever falls to us.
Let's start doing that. We're up in 7 picks. Anybody here that you like?
Yeah, Malik Washington, star him. I think he could go 3rd or 4th round.
I think if he
falls into a spot where he's going to get targets, it's Yahtzee. Javon Baker is also a guy I love.
I know you like Javon Baker. Anyone else here? I'm going to put DeMarcus Robinson in.
Yeah, let's put DeMarcus.
Surprisingly good with the Rams.
He was very efficient last year. I think it's a really good call.
Any random dart throw rookie running backs that you like?
I think Andre Yoshivas makes some sense because if T. Higgins is gone, he could be the starter on the perimeter for Cincinnati. Dylan Lobby, we could toss a dart at him with the receiving production. You could talk.
That's my little crush, you probably love him. Yeah.
We could also look at Israel Bandicanda because he's going to be the straight handcuff to Breece Hall.
I like that call.
I'm looking at we could talk ourselves in Deontay Foreman, although I'm not like he would be very far, you know, farther down this list, but he's
underdog hasn't changed him. He's on the Browns, folks. Still says Chicago. Yeah. What's going on here? Come on, underdog. We show some love for Deontay Foreman. He deserves to have the proper team. This is a veteran bruising running back. All right, we're up in 3 picks. Looks like we've got Javon Baker, DeMarcus Robinson, Andre Yoshi, as we'll call him. Do you have a preference out of those 3? Do you like how I've ranked it? Would you rank it differently? I've got Baker at the top right now.
I think Baker and DeMarcus Robinson are probably same tier. You're hoping with Baker that he goes round three, he ends up in a good spot. DeMarcus Robinson, do we have any NFC West guys here that I'm just like maybe hopping
that's
over?
That's what I was looking at. I don't believe we have – no, we don't have any NFC West yet. Okay. So Robinson would be our first NFC West guy. Javon Baker, maybe this guy becomes a Saint. Yep, I think he could also be a Falcon. The Falcons are probably going to add someone. Too. I'm gonna let you make the call here as the esteemed guest. We're going Javon Baker. All right, we're going to be back on the clock in four picks. Anything you want to tell us about Javon Baker?
I look at his profile and he didn't test out the freaking gym, Larky. But if you look at his profile again, it's a guy that he's my wide receiver 6 in this class. He was 8th in yards per route run, 24th in receiving grade last year. He can win downfield, but I don't think that's going to be his role in the NFL. Like, can he win downfield? Yes. I think he's going to walk into the NFL, and I think he has the ability to earn targets at a high level, and I think he could develop into being a high-volume wide receiver. Like, my comp for him, and if you can go and you can look at wingspan, you could look at measurables, you can look at size, and I think his game matches it up. From the very beginning, Larky, my comp for Javon Baker has been Chris Godwin, and I'm not moving off of that.
I like that. Almost like a bigger play, Chris Godwin. He had 22 yards per reception this past year at UCF.
So good.
Only 52 catches, but he turned that into 1,139 yards. Mm-hmm. That's very impressive. We love to see that. Now, we're about to be back on the clock. Let me show the draft board again. DeMarcus Robinson still there. I'm down to make this just a 9 receiver build in that we have Bijan Robinson and Aaron Jones at the top, and we hope both of them stay relatively healthy. Should we go with D-Rob, and then we'll pivot and we'll find our running back for this final pick.
Yep.
We've got Dylan Laube.
I'm totally down
Israel,
with that. D-Rob is easy, free upside.
Yeah, it's hard for me to see someone attached to Matthew Stafford who's going to be in 3 receiver sets not giving you some spike weeks. Mm-hmm. Cooper Kupp has definitely not been the picture of health recently. And I know that you are fading him. You were a big Puka Nacua guy. I think it would kind of make sense that if you love one of them, then you either love both and you love the offense, or you say part of why I like Puka Nacua is that Cooper Kupp might be on the decline.
That's exactly right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, man. Like, I think Cooper Kupp is on the back 9 of his career. I mean, we saw the fall off after he came back. And again,
we did.
DeMarcus Robinson from week 13. Here's his weekly finishes, Larky. Wide receiver 21, 22, 26, 15, 29. Like, those are wonderful. Wonderful, baby. Wonderful.
In the 19th
round. And
where's he
going? Like, what is he, wide receiver 80? Like, he's in the 80s? Like, why is he buried that deep? It's crazy.
I couldn't tell you. I think it's just the classic case. I talked about this on another player profiler podcast, Stack Hunters with Bradley Stalder and Dan Williamson, late last night. And I was talking about how these early ADPs kind of anchor people. And I think sometimes they're just completely wrong. But because that ADP is there, people get too anchored. And they think, oh, like, I just kind of have to take this guy this earlier. Oh, I just have to wait on this guy because of his ADP. And sometimes it's pretty off. And you start to see the guy creep up very, very slowly, because people start to realize and they're drafting him a little sooner than that. But still, it can take several weeks oftentimes for these ADPs to correct. Yep. And I think that's the case with DeMarcus Robinson, where he re-signs with the Rams. It's a little low-key move. So many huge names moving in free agency that him just re-signing for another year goes under the radar. And I love it. Just mentioning his receiver finishes. Sometimes that's all you need, is that a guy who's just talented enough paired with the perfect quarterback in Matthew Stafford.
Well, and the other part about this is people could say, okay, like, you can make the narrative or you can make the case that he ran hot with touchdowns and that really helped his you know, end of season finish. Can we also talk about he also earned targets, 5 targets, 10 targets. Okay, then he's got 3 and 6, but then 10 targets again in week 17. Like, I just look at a player that's being vastly underrated versus the market, and right now I've got him in my ranks as wide receiver 48. I mean, that's just... Mm-hmm. But that's where he should be. He should be in the range of like these tertiary wide receiver 2 and 3s and good offenses that can produce. And I don't really understand like why he's ranked where he is, because we've already seen that type of run out. So why do you
think that
this season's going to be any different?
And the other thing is that was with Cooper Kupp playing. There's a good chance Cooper Kupp gets injured as a 31-year-old with four or five major injuries already on his profile. And suddenly if it's Puka Nacua and DeMarcus Robinson, there's still going to be passing yards to go around. That's just how these Matthew Stafford offenses are. And you could be looking at this like fringe wide receiver, two wide receiver, three type production.
Tyler Higbee, should anything also happen, the ACL, he's not going to be there. So like we're,
we have
about,
no again, idea what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. More targets because what is it? Davis Allen? Is he going to, they don't use Kyren Williams a ton in the passing game. So
yeah,
again, we're just talking about like, why are people not drafting DeMarcus Robinson? I think it's a mistake.
All right. We still got Israel Abanikanda in the queue. Fins fan 561 picks right before us. And it looks like we're going to get him. Do you have any qualms here? You want to pivot or are we sticking with Izzy?
Stick with Izzy.
We're going to stick with the big fast back who plays with Aaron Rodgers and is backing up Breece Hall. Folks, I'm going to repeat this roster one more time and then we'll get you out of here. First off, I will say, I think this is the most fun I've had streaming a best ball draft in I don't know how long. So Derek, thank you. I love our chemistry and rapport.
Tear this up, man. I knew we were going to have a fun time on this show.
I knew we'd have a fun time. I figured we'd draft a good team. I didn't know we'd draft a fucking monster. Let's repeat this team one more time.
My man.
I mean, my man. Goodness. This team is beautiful. Oh, let's look at this one more time. We've got the quarterback room has Caleb Williams stacked up with Keenan Allen and probably Rome Odunze in Chicago. We've got Kirk Cousins stacked up with Bijan Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and Kyle Pitts. We've got Derek Carr stacked up with Chris Olave. Other running backs after Bijan Robinson would be Aaron Jones, Jaleel McLaughlin, USC product, rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd, who played with Caleb Williams in college. We got the college little chemistry stack there. And then we've got Israel Abanikanda, Jets, handcuff, good offense, big explosive player. The receiver room, guys, we haven't mentioned, Rasee Rice with the Chiefs. We've got rookie Xavier Worthy, who just set the combine record for 40 time. We've got Troy Franklin, the Oregon product, with awesome production. We've got one of your rookie crushes in Javon Baker late. We've got DeMarcus Robinson. He plays with the Rams. We should like that. In the tight end room after Kyle Pitts was rounded out with Jonnu Smith and Noah Fant. Folks, D-Bro is D-Bro underscore FFB on Twitter. He is with Fantasy Pros. He is with Betting Pros. We're going to get you out of here. Give the people, they want to follow you. They love what you did on the stream today. They want to check you out this weekend. What should they be either searching for right this instant or looking for early next week?
So I do have a best ball players to target, my top 13 guys that's live on Fantasy Pros. Go check that out.
That's an excellent article.
I just dropped my mock draft 1.0 over at Fantasy Pros, a first round mock. So that's live as well. And yeah, man, if people are looking for all the content for dynasty rookie drafts, as well as you're trying to play catch up on this NFL draft class, like, yes, we have the Fantasy Pros main show and stuff, and it's freaking awesome. But I'm going to tell you, direct you to the Fantasy Pros dynasty feed. We have an amazing dynasty podcast with Pat Fitzmaurice and Scott Bogman and Ryan Wormley. They're awesome at what they do, as well as Thor Nystrom and myself have kicked off. This is the first year we're doing it. Many, many years to come. Right now, we are doing the NFL draft show for Fantasy Pros. We've already broken down the top quarterbacks with the top running backs of the class. We've gone through a lot of other players. Our wide receiver episode this week ran through the top 10 players at wide receiver per consensus. Next week's episode, we're going wide receiver 11 through 20 and hitting some sleepers. It's all free money content, man. Like, go check it out. It's going to help you in your dynasty rookie drafts. I promise you. And if it doesn't, at me on X. Let's have a conversation because I'm telling you it's going to.
Yeah, folks, if there's one person you do not want to get into a serious debate with, it's Derek Brown. You should do it anyway, but just know that you're probably going to lose. I don't know if there is a harder working person at this point in the industry with the time that he puts in with his intuition on players. That'll do it for the Dominator. From myself, Josh Larkey, from my co-host, my co-drafter for this episode, Derek Brown of Fantasy and Betting Pros. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.